Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord and welcome. This is Amazing Grace Extraordinary Truth Ministries, and I am your host, Elder Lydia Togba. It is so good to have you with me once again for this episode of A Year in the Word. Today we're reading from James chapters 1 through 3 from the New King James Version of the Word of God. Amen. And as always, we give glory and honor, amen, to the Lord God Almighty, to the God of our salvation, the God of our hope, the God of our second chance, the God of our healing, amen, the God who sees all, amen, and has never forgotten any of us. We give him glory and honor today, amen. We're coming from James chapters 1 through 3 from the New King James Version of the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you as humbly as we know how, thanking and praising you, Lord God, for life, health, and for strength. We thank you, Lord, for every blessing that you bestow upon us under the sun. We thank you, Lord, for every healing that you have formed, for every breakthrough that you have brought through to us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all knowledge and for the favor that you've given us, unmerited favor, grace, glory to God. We give you honor, oh God. We thank you. The glory, oh God, is yours and yours alone. My hallelujah, today and always, it belongs to you, Lord Jesus. My hallelujah belongs to you. Oh, Lord, I just thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for that you're doing, for that you are about to do. I thank you, Lord God, that you are taking us by leap bounds, Lord God, to places that we did not even imagine that we could go. You're moving in us now. Oh, God, I honor you today, Lord God. Move right now in the word as we go forth, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Open our eyes that we might see, and our ears that we hear what the Spirit of the Lord is speaking in this hour, during this time, in this dispensation, to each of us as individuals and to the church universal. Oh, Father, we give you glory. We give you praise, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. Amen. For the ushering in of greatness into each and every one of our lives, no matter what we've been through, Lord God, no matter what hassles we've had to undergo, no matter what rejections that we have felt, Lord God, no matter what pains and what sorrows we have gone through, your Spirit is uplifting us. You are the lifter of our head, the Lord, strong and mighty, mighty in battle, and you are waging war on our behalf. You are pursuing each and every one of us, oh God, with your everlasting love and with your peace, that you might overwhelm us. Glory to God, with your salvation. Glory to God, my hope is in you, Lord Jesus. My hope is in you, and I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We give honor and amen, praise and glory to the Lord. Amen. The glory, glory, glory is his and his alone. Glory to God. We're reading from James chapters 1 through 3 from the New King James Version of the Word of God. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with doubting nothing. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded. He is a double-minded man and unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation. Because as a flower of the field, he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with the burning heat than it withers the grass. Its flowers fail, and its beautiful appearance perishes. so the rich also will fade away in his pursuit. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has prepared to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth. Sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creation, of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, and he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should come also in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in a good place, and say to the poor man, you sit there or sit here at my footstool, have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you are called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which they needed for the body, what does it profit?
Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursing. But, my brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct done in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. And where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and most of all, the doers of his word, and sanctify the truth in our hearts. We've read from James chapters 1 through 3 from the New King James Version of the Word of God. God bless you. God keep you and God anoint you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. We're looking for great and mighty things, amen, to happen in the Lord as we're reading his word and as we are becoming equipped with knowledge and with wisdom. Amen, and with the standards that belong to God, amen, so that we will be in right fellowship and our relationships won't be hindered because we're walking according to the standards of our relationship. Every relationship on earth has boundaries. All relationships do. This relationship with God is no different, and the Word of God shows us how to walk. before him so that we can maintain our relationship and maintain the life, amen, that he's given to each and every one of us. If you have not received that life on today, that life-giving power that only comes from Jesus Christ, amen, I am here to introduce him to you today. He is the one, the God of the universe, that wrapped himself in flesh and came down through 42 generations. Amen. He came into the earth, born of a virgin. Glory to God. So everything about this thing was miraculous. Amen. Everything about it was a plan of God. From Genesis, amen, the Lord had already planned to redeem us back to a right fellowship and right relationship with him. Amen. And as he dwelt on the earth, amen, he had like passions just as we do. He felt the things that we do. He ate and he slept and he ministered, amen, the word of God. And he witnessed those things that were already witnessed. He brought forth healing and miracles, amen. And he brought forth the word mightily so that those that heard him knew that they were in the presence of God. Amen. And on that dark day, amen, he went to the cross for each and every one of us, to the place of the skull called Golgotha. Amen. And on that place, he was hung on a cross, and he gave up his life for each and every one of us. He, who was fully God and fully man, had allowed all of the sins of all of humanity to be thrust upon him, though he knew no sin at all himself. And in that very moment, he felt, remember I told you, he felt the things that we feel. In the moment that sin was thrust upon him, you talk about a significant moment, he felt then the separation that sin brings. Sin separated us. Amen. From the presence of the Father. And he felt that separation. And he asked the Lord, why do you forsake me? He asked that when he was on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Because the thrust of sin was that great and that overwhelming that it pushed him out of his place. Amen. But that redeeming power, amen, he came back. Amen. With the and resurrected. Amen. He rose up out of death and brought with him the keys to death, hell, and the grave. All those things, amen, that started in the beginning in Genesis when man was disobedient and the relationship between man and God was it died. Amen. And death always brings separation. But Jesus, amen, bridged that gap. He came that we might have life and that more abundantly. And that's the Jesus I'm introducing you today, to you today. He loves each and every soul that is living. Amen. I don't care what you've done, what anybody has said. I don't care who you've loved. It doesn't matter. None of those things matter to the Lord. I mean, sin certainly does, but how you have expressed yourself in the earth does not, because he loves us all with an everlasting love. And he knew what each and every one of us would do with our lives. But he came for you, no matter what you've done. He came for you that you might have life and that more abundantly. Amen. The word lets us know that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord, he shall be saved. Jeremiah said, if we call upon the name of the Lord, he would show us great and mighty things that we know not of. And scripture shows that over and over and over again. Amen. When the disciples preached, when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, amen, and he introduced this same Jesus that they had crucified to them. Amen. And at the end of that, at that message that he preached, they asked him, men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? And he told them, he gave them these instructions to repent, amen, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Jesus will come, amen, and he will make his abode with you, and he will show you life in a way you never imagined it, amen. Your circumstance might stay the same momentarily, amen, but the way that you view it will not. It could not, because Jesus is present to show you a new and a living way, Amen. And he will do precisely that. The word says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. His name is Jesus. And there is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must, amen, repent, turn away from the wicked things that you have been doing. Ask the Lord for forgiveness, amen, and call on his name, and he will come and show you great and mighty things. His presence will well up out of your belly, living waters. Amen. And you will begin to speak in tongues, even as the disciples did on that day in Acts during the feast of Pentecost. Amen. They began to speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance. And each and every one of them that were there for that feast on that day heard the tongues of their native lands that those men could not possibly have known, because they were poor fishermen from Galilee, and they were not educated as many of them, the others were that were there in Jerusalem on that day. But Jesus will move miraculously and powerfully, and he will bring forth breakthroughs that you thought were impossible for your life. Amen. If you feel like your life has been stagnant, Jesus, amen, is the life giver, the life sustainer. He removes the stagnation and causes a movement in you that might even feel like a revolution down in your soul. And he will give you revelation from on high. Jesus, amen. He saves. Jesus, he is saving. Even right now, he's bringing life. Amen. Life, life, life. He's bringing life. Amen. And that more abundantly. He said that's why he came. Amen. I hope that you are calling on his name even right now and allowing his presence to save you. Amen. To refresh you, to renew you, to revitalize you, to save you. Amen. From this untoward generation, this generation that's going, amen, backwards and not forward. Although it may seem wiser, it is much wickeder. And the Lord is not pleased with the things that he is seeing. And he is soon to return. Amen. That's why it behooves you, amen, to, amen, make this relationship a priority, because we were always intended to be in relationship with the God of the universe, always, from the very beginning. Amen. He created us to make his name glorious. Amen. To have a reciprocal relationship with him. Amen. And be able to talk with him at any time. Amen. Because of what Jesus did, now we can go boldly, amen, to the throne of grace. Amen. And find rest for our souls. Bless the name of the Lord. Praise God for Jesus. Amen. I hope you just gave him your big yes. This is the biggest yes you can ever give to anything, anyone, anywhere. This is a big yes, and God will honor it. Glory to God. I hope you will continue to join me as we continue in this journey through a year in the Word. Amen.